that is all to the glory of God. So God has blessed this church in so many, many ways. And candidly, you guys are the blessings right here in this church. So we're going to talk about something I know that no one has had an issue with in their life, but I just kind of figured since it affected me, I would talk about it a little bit today. But sometimes you and I paint a picture, and the picture that we paint is not the picture that comes out on the canvas. You know, we have all painted pictures in our life of what we thought life might be. You know, if you look at your yearbooks, you know, there are statements in the yearbooks about being the most successful, you know, person, being the entrepreneur, all the kind of things. And then you begin to look at your own life and you go, that's not even close to where my life was meant to be. There are some examples up here. Paula Deen was like one of the celebrity chefs. She had the world by the tail. I mean, she was just doing everything, writing books and cookbooks and had TV appearances. And then she made some statements that she shouldn't have made, and her popularity plummeted. And the picture that she originally painted for her life was not the way that the canvas came out. Tiger Woods, one of the greatest golfers of our time, same thing. You know, did a lot of stuff, made a lot of statements, did some crazy, crazy things. His daddy started him off at a young age. You know, here's a guy making $60 million a year, you know, on endorsements, and everything is great. Then all of a sudden, because of his actions, the picture that he painted was not the picture that God had intended for him. The world champion cyclist Lance Armstrong got in trouble for doping, and then Tonya Harding, you know, her whole mindset changed because she wanted to be number one and she wanted to create her own plan. And I got to tell you that sometimes your plan doesn't match with God's plan. And, you know, it's important for us as we go through to understand that sometimes what we paint is not the picture that you and I get. Here's a question. I think we all make plans, but we honestly have no control over the outcome of those plans. I think we try. I think we want to. I think we really try very hard to go, you know, this is where my heart's desire is. But my question for all of us would be this. Could it be that the ending is more important than the beginning? Think about that. You know, years ago when I went to college, I had dreams and aspirations to be a professional golfer. I make the running joke that I was good enough to get there, too drunk to stay, you know, because I'd play good the first day and then I'd be drunk for the next day, and then I'd have to quit and go to the next tournament and pay my entry fee over there, you know. But the challenge is the picture that I painted, you know, after that I became a cop, and then after that I became a pastor. And, you know, the pictures that I painted were never the pictures that I thought. I mean, you know, you paint and you're like, no, oh, no. That, and when I told Pam that I was going to be a pastor, I remember her going, oh, no, 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 no. I married a cop. I didn't marry a pastor. So the pictures that we paint in life are truly pictures that we think, but you also have to be willing in life to go, maybe that's not the picture that God has for me. And the key is, and you got to answer the question, could it be that the ending is more important than the beginning in our lives? And I think, candidly, we all know the answer. You know, the Bible is full of stories, all different kinds of stories of people who started out, who painted pictures, and candidly, their life didn't turn out the way they thought it would be. But at the end of the day, you would be able to see God in the midst of the picture. In Joshua 5:6, says, for the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, until all the nation, that is the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. One of the keys for all of us in our lives every day is the importance of listening to the voice of the Lord. You know, because if you don't listen, then he's not going to direct your path. Not that he doesn't want to, it's just that you've chose not to go in that direction. But it says, to whom the Lord has sworn that he would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to the fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, all that to say this. Here's a group of individuals that have been in bondage for 400 plus years. Some of you in this room have been in bondage for a long time. Okay? So the key here is that this is a group that has been held in bondage. They finally get the release. God is going to let you go. And I got to tell you, they've been building brick without straws for years. Their whole life is a mess. And now they get the word, we're leaving. I mean, I'm telling you, you know, they're painting pictures about what life's going to be on the other side. They're going to paint pictures what it means to have milk and honey. I mean, their canvases are awesome in their eyes, but they walk out and they're excited, and all of a sudden they come into the Red Sea. Well, I guarantee you, none of those pictures had the Red Sea in it, okay? And then even after that, they get through the Red Sea. Now they walk in the wilderness for 40 years. And some of y'all in this room, some of us, me included, have walked in wilderness for years for one reason, because we do not listen to the voice of the Lord. Okay? In John 11, it says, so the sister sent word to him. And this is a story about Lazarus. It's a story about Jesus. The sisters loved Jesus. Jesus loved Lazarus. And they called him and said, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now, you got to think about that little statement right there. You think they're trying to add a little bit to the pie? You know, they're like, Jesus, the one that you really, really love? You know, the one that is really, really tight with you. You know, the one that you just, you know. And they're painting this picture. He's really sick. And then it says, but when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to the end of death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Amen. Now, the thing with this is, just put yourself in the shoes of the sisters. If they did anything right, they ran to the one that had the answer, which was Jesus, okay? I mean, that's most important, for when we have trouble, we run to Jesus. They ran to Jesus, and they said, listen, we know that you love him. We know that you care for him and is sick, and we really need you to come and heal him. Now, that's a picture they painted. I promise you, if you'd have flipped the picture over, you know, Jesus would have been there. You know, he'd have been healed, and they're out sitting in the yard, you know, eating grapes and roasted lamb, whatever it might be. But their picture was awesome, but that's not the way that picture turned out. The Bible tells you 2 days later, Jesus goes. 2 days later, he goes, and you know the story, Lazarus is dead. Now, in Luke 1:26, another great story about somebody painting a picture. You know, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. Now, we laughed in the first service. I got to tell you, anytime the angel come to you and starts preempting his deal with, boy, you're so special. God loves you so much. You're his favorite one. Get ready, because he taking you someplace you probably don't want to go. But it says she was very perplexed at the statement, and we would have all been perplexed. And it said, and he kept pondering, what kind of salutation was this? And I think if we were walking down the street, an angel comes to us, that would scare us, no doubt. But then they start talking. I mean, we too would sit there and go, wait a minute. I don't understand what's going on. And then it said, the angel said to her, yeah, don't be afraid. Sure. I'm all over that one too, you know. And then Mary said, it says, to, the angel said to Mary, for you have found favor with God. Okay? Now, none of this at the very beginning is the picture that Mary's painted. Okay? But look at what happened. And behold, he says, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Now, if you think she's not confused before, she's extremely confused now, and I promise you, none of this was written in her yearbook, okay? He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now, here's what you got to look at. Think about a young Joe Glenn and Laura, I was thinking about you guys, the marriage, the excitement, all the things, the pictures that you painted. There are some pictures that were not painted on your canvas on that little deal, let me tell you. You know, but you think about Mary and how much she loved Joseph and how much Joseph loved Mary, and they're going to have this wonderful home and a wonderful family life, and you know, they're going to go to work and they come home together and they hold their hands and they'll get married and they'll have a baby and everything's going to be great. Well, then the angel comes and says, you're going to be with child. She goes, well, wait a minute, I don't understand this process because I've never been with a man before in my life. He says it's going to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, she says, do to me what you want. You know, that piece of it's okay. But then think about when he says the son is going to be great. Now you got to think, she's going, wow, how awesome is this? God has given me a son. He's going to be great. He's going to be the Most High. He's going to be on the throne. Great! And then all of a sudden, the picture that she paints is not even close. The son that she loves so much is beaten unrecognizably. And that son carries a cross to Golgotha. And then he's nailed to that cross. And there he stays till he dies. And then he's placed in a grave. That is not the picture that Mary painted for her life, nor for her son's life. So many people in Scripture have painted visual pictures of what they thought that life might be, but it didn't turn out that way. You know, if you read the book of Job, 42 chapters in the book of Job, everybody here has those 42 chapters in their life. Might be different chapters, but we all have 42 chapters in our life based upon the challenges and the struggles of life. We've all painted pictures, but I got to tell you that for most of us, those pictures have not come out of what we thought that they would be. You know, and we laugh about it, but when you open up yearbooks and you see all the great things that people wrote, some of those it said would be most successful, you know, have turned out to be nothing. Those that, you know, everybody thought would never succeed are now multimillionaires. The picture just doesn't come out the way we want it. But here's what we got to think about. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. He said, I've got plans for you for welfare. I've got plans for you, not for calamity. I've got plans for you to give you future. I've got plans to give you hope. Mm-hmm. Now, if our plans are not fitting in that passage, then something's wrong. And I got to tell you, the scripture is not what's wrong. It could be us, that we are doing something outside the will of God. Now, God, I believe, is more concerned, again, about the outcome than he is with the beginning. The beginning is temporary. The outcome, the ending, is eternal. When I went to college, and I shared that with you, that I really wanted and thought that I could be a professional golfer. Well, alcohol was one of my biggest downfalls, so then I joined the police department. Well, I'm still drinking at that point in time. When I left high school, I knew that God had called me to the seminary, and I went, oh, no, I ain't going. So I didn't go. And then the rest of my life, the rest 20 years, the next, was an absolute spaghetti bowl of mistakes. And then, you know, when I told Pam that God had called me to the ministry, Pam said, you know, I don't think so. Go teach Sunday school, you know. And then all of a sudden, things begin to roll into place. Now, one of the things that is great for all of us to remember is this. It's not how you start in life, it's how you finish. I did not do what God asked me to do at the very beginning. I was a lousy man. I was a lousy dad. I was a lousy person. But I got to tell you today, I'm a good daddy. I'm not a lousy man because I'm a child of the Most High God, and I have done what God has asked me to do because I'm following God's plan and not my own. There's one guarantee in life, that each one in this room will deal with difficult situations in your lifespan, and there's nothing you're going to do about it except follow God. Genesis 37, then Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, how do you like this? I mean, he's got a dream, man, you know? And he tells it to his brothers, and it says, they hate him even more. So that must tell us that they already hated him before, okay? But it says, they hated him even more, and he said to them, please, come on, man, listen to my dream that I had. When I went and told my mom and dad, who lived for 38 years with all my craziness and wildness, that I was going to go into the ministry, I got to tell you, Dad's like, yeah, let's just go have a drink and we'll talk about it, okay? You know, Dad couldn't believe it. And the challenge even then was, is that they knew where I was, they knew where I'd come from, and they couldn't even see the picture where I was going to go. Everybody in this room has people like that. You know, people will look at what you used to be. People will look at the challenges that you used to go through. People will look at a lot of the negative things about you, and they don't begin to look at the positive things about you. And what's really sad with Christianity today is that people do not give you any encouragement. They will tell you, no, you can't. You never will. That won't happen. But if God is in the midst of this, God will take you any place that God wants you to go. Amen. Amen? Amen. Now, so he said to them, please listen to me. And then it says, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. My sheaf rose above yours and stood erect. And behold, your sheaf gathered around and bowed down to mine. Now, how do you want to tell that story to somebody that already hates you, okay? Then the brother said to him, oh, okay. Let's get this straight. I am going to bow down to you. They wrote a book called Cold Day In. That ain't happening, okay? So he says, you really think you're going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. A Church, if you're not in the place God wants you today, you need to avail yourself to God. And see, I believe that God has told everybody in this room what he wants you to do. The problem is that you're not listening. Okay? Now, with that said, I'm not telling you it's going to be an easy journey. Because when I went to my pastor and I shared with him what God had called me to do, everything that I told him, he said, would not happen. He said, Keith, you know, you're nothing but an old alcoholic. You come from a busted house. He said, your lifestyle is bad. You never finished college. He said, you know, it's just not going to work. Well, that was man. But I got to tell you, when God's involved in it, God's going to take you where God wants you to go. Amen. And amen. And the very man that said that it wouldn't work is the very man that called me to come to work at church for him and be an evangelist for the church. So the thing that's important here is that people are not going to like where you're going. But it's not about them. Okay? It's about God. Now think about this. It took the Israelites 40 years in the wilderness before they could go to the promised land. God has a time of preparation for all of us. The first 8 years of my ministry, I wanted out. And I tried to put a letter at every church that I could put it in, and no one would take me because I had no experience. And I finally got to the place where I said, Lord, if this is where you want me to be, so be it. 3 months later, after I surrendered my will to his, I got called to be the pastor here. Amen. Lazarus dies. Not the picture that they painted either. Mary's son was crucified. Joseph, Lord have mercy, was thrown in a hole, pulled out of the hole, sold into slavery. He is then accused of rape, he is thrown into prison. You think that he's painted that picture?
Not even
close. And at the very end of the day, he tells his brothers, the ones who hated him, you thought all this was for my bad, but my God made me do what I went to save your stinking self. That's what God said. Now, not the Israelites or Mary or Lazarus or Joseph or anybody painted the picture that they thought God, or I don't even think God was in the picture, but, you know, they painted it, but it's not the picture that God wanted. And there's a lot of people in this room who are painting pictures right now, and God doesn't want you to paint that picture either. You know? So what's important is, what does God want? And sometimes we need to put the brushes down. We need to close the paint. We need to seek God and go, God, what do you want for me to do for you? I got seven little points. Here's point number one. God will never leave you, and God will never forsake you. I don't care where you are, what you're going through, the challenges that you're facing in your life, God will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. You know, when the children of Israel left Egypt, they went, gosh, God's with us. No, God never left them. God was with them, preparing them for the journey that was to come. So he prepares them and gets them ready. They leave Egypt. God gives them every bit of money that they need from the very captives that were holding them hostage to live for the next 40 years. And then the great thing about it is when they hit the Red Sea, automatically, like all of us, we go, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And if you try to handle it yourself, you're going to drown. But if we put our thoughts and our focus on God to go, God, you got me this far, you're going to have to get me to the other side, then you would know that God has never left us, God would never forsake us, and either we're going to go through the water, we're going to walk on top of the water, or we're going to float across the water, but we're going to get to the other side because of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was with Mary and Joseph. You know, he was with Lazarus, and he was with Joseph. And if he's with them, then church, he's with you and me, no matter. Here's point number two. God knows the plan. Not you. God knows the plan. When our lives are shaped around our plan, then our concentration is on the plan and not on God. See, it's easy to lose sight, and Satan wants you to focus on the problem versus the promise. And what you and I've got to do is to go, I got to focus on the promise because it's God's plan, and if it's God's plan, then it's going to be okay. Point three, never forget who you're to serve. See, too often our lives are dedicated to serving our plan. Yet we're called to serve God. You know, God never told us to go serve a program. God never told us to go serve a building. God never told us to go serve anything but Him. You know, we've talked before, and it's so awesome, but the building that is being erected in 1999, Francis Adams, who made that glass picture up there, the cut glass, gave this check to the church for $87,500. Now, God gave us 10 acres. Now, I honestly figured that we would go phase one, two, and three, but that was not God's plan. But the neat thing is, what was God's plan is that we would take Miss Francis's check for $87,500, and through the power of God, He turned it to $1.7 million so that we could put that money toward that church over there. And we've got nothing to do with that. It is God and God alone. So you got to dedicate yourself not to the plan, but to serving God. Here's point four, number four. Never allow your plans to become your idol. Amen. See, when we live our lives trying to achieve our expectations with regards to our plans, we put our plans over God. And any time you put anything over God, it becomes the idol. And that is never honoring to God. Point number five, understand that God never changes. See, our plans can change. A lot of us in this room, our plans have changed over the years. But God never will, for one reason. He's the same today as He was yesterday, as He will be tomorrow. Amen. His plan never changes, but you might have to adapt your plan to His if you want to live in the peace that God wants you to have. And then point number six, no matter always, remember that God will do more for you than you could ever ask or think in your life. You know, when you think about Joseph going through all the challenges, being thrown in the hole, you know, being sold, getting thrown in jail, being accused of, I mean, none of that stuff was cool for him. You know, but he was just like, God, I don't understand. But all throughout Scripture, it says the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And wherever he went, he found favor. And one of the things for us, church, is that we're on a journey. Everybody here is on a journey. Everybody here has an opportunity to touch a life today if you take the journey that God calls you to take. Most plans don't allow for second chances, but God's plan always does. And here's how I want to close this. Point number 7. If God could be for you and me, then church, who in the world could ever be against us? Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Well, we are so blessed. You know, one of the great things that I want you to think about today is that, you know, I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, and, you know, people have paid $3,500 to watch millionaires run up and down the field. You know, I mean, it makes sense to me, you know.
Go Rams.
Yes. But here's the thing that's important. You have an opportunity to make the greatest decision about the greatest person that has ever lived, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today, then why don't you kick a goal and meet Christ today? Because he will radically change your life. Maybe you want us to pray for you. Whatever need you have today, I'm going to ask that you stand to your feet. Prayer partners are going to come up. We're going to pray for you.